Corey and Cora, and my two daughters, their name is Elena and Eleanor. Elena is 2 years old now. She just turned two in September, and Eleanor is 9 months old, and she's a Valentine baby. She was born this year, February the 14th, and so God just continues to grow our family, continues to bless it, and we're just so thankful for the Lord. Aren't you guys glad to be so thankful for the Lord? He's just a good God, isn't he? He's a good God. And we're going to learn that this morning in the book of Matthew chapter 14. The book of Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to go to two specific areas of scripture this morning. But Matthew chapter 14 will be the first place we'll go to. And then later on, we'll go to the book of John and camp there for the most part for the rest of this morning. But Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 16. And in Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 16, what we see from our Savior, Jesus Christ, is, and I know we all know this, but it's an amazing story what we're about to embark on, but we see that Jesus Christ is a very generous God. He's a very generous God. And this story that we are going to see explains that so well as to how generous our Savior Jesus Christ is. But by definition, what generous means is generous in simple terms is to give more than what's expected of you. To give more than what is expected of you. And so what we're going to learn basically in Scripture is we know to be a Christian means to be Christ-like. Amen? It means to be Christ-like. So obviously, every Christian, we ought to respond in love, and we ought to respond in a generous manner. And so what we see in Scripture is that Jesus Christ, he shows the example of how to be generous, and we can, through these three actions that we see in Scripture this morning, we can see that every believer can live that generous life as well. Every believer can live that generous life as well, just as Christ did. And we see in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, to get the context before we get into verse 13, we see in verses before that John the Baptist has died. He's been beheaded, he has passed, and the disciples that followed John the Baptist at that time, they have buried John the Baptist. He's already buried. And Jesus Christ, he has heard news of this. And so we see in verse 13, his response of it is when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And walk to verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with, what's that word, church? Compassion. Compassion. He was moved with love toward them, and he healed their sick. And as we get into the verses later, let's pray real quick first before we do the rest. Lord, we're thankful for the morning you've given us, your grace, your mercy in our lives. And God, we want to hear from you this morning. Lord, we have come here into your house this morning to praise your name, to worship you. And God, we've come to hear you so that you can challenge us this morning and so that we can apply that challenge to our everyday walk with you for the purpose of growing closer to you and living more just like you. And so, God, I pray that what you teach us this morning and what we have this morning, we apply it to our everyday walk with you and that we take this challenge this morning to be a more generous Christian, to do more than what is expected of us to do. And we ultimately give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Move in a almighty way, O God, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we see that Jesus Christ, as he is healing these people, there is a common denominator in Scripture that when Jesus Christ moves, he moves based on compassion towards people. See, compassion, Jesus' love for people, is the accelerator that causes him to do these certain things in Scripture. So the thing that he did, first and foremost, in verse 14, we see that he was moved with compassion upon the people, and he healed their sick. Now let's think about the generosity for a second, okay? So here's the deal. The deal is that during this time, whenever people saw Jesus Christ, and notice how the crowd responded in verse 13, they saw that Jesus Christ was there, so they responded by going to him, because there's an expectation. there's been an expectation that has been placed on Jesus Christ by the people. Otherwise, they wouldn't have just gone and followed him. The expectation was based on all the news they've heard throughout all Judea and all Samaria. The expectation was that when you see Jesus Christ, you will experience healing. You will experience the lame being able to walk. You will experience the blind being able to see. You will hear great and mighty things. You will hear Jesus Christ teach great and mighty things of heaven and concerning the gospel. And these people, they responded because they knew the expectation that was placed when they see Jesus Christ. So it was expected of him to heal, but now watch verse 15. And it was evening. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus, in verse 16, said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." See, the three actions that we're going to learn this morning, all play throughout this whole story that we are going to read. Every action we are going to learn plays in this whole story. And the first action we're learning is that Jesus Christ was not expected to do this. He was not expected to do this. But remember, generosity says that you do more than what is expected of you. So Jesus Christ, he was expected to heal, but nobody expected him to feed the 5,000 that we know of, because it's a popular story. We've heard it before. But nobody expected Jesus Christ to feed the 5,000. We see proof of that in Scripture. The disciples, they respond by saying, "Lord, send them away. Tell them to go to the town, tell them to get their own food, and then they can come back here and meet once more to see the great and mighty things that you will do." But Jesus, in compassion, in his generosity, he says in response, "Don't let them depart, keep them here, and we're going to feed them." We're going to feed them. We are supposed to be generous. And Jesus Christ shows that in an example through Scripture. He shows that he has a generous heart. He shows that he wants to do more than what's expected of him. And he, in response, says, "I will feed these people. I will feed these people." And so he was not expected to feed the people, but he responded in a generous heart. He responded in a generous heart. The second action that we are about to see is that Jesus, what we see in the second action is that Jesus did not exclude anyone. See, first, Jesus Christ was not expected to do this, but now he does not exclude anyone. And now we're going to go to the book of John chapter 6 to see that proof. John chapter 6, verse 5 through 10. And as you turn to John chapter 6 for that final area of scripture that we're going to camp on this morning, obviously when we think of the action of not excluding, we can immediately think of salvation. God does not exclude anyone from being able to trust in Jesus as their Savior. We see in Romans 10:13, just as example, "For whosoever," that's anyone, "shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved." And I love that word "shall," because that's a promise word right there. God is basically saying, "Hey, you do this, and you shall be saved." So we see in Romans 10:13 that no one's excluded, but concerning the area of scripture we're about to be in, we see an application where Jesus Christ does not exclude a couple people mentioned in here, and not only that, but as application, he does not exclude us from a very specific task as well. And so in John chapter 6, verse 5 through 10, what we see, the story continues on from the book of Matthew. And it says, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And I love verse 6. "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." See, here's the awesome part that we're about to learn with this second action of it not excluding anyone. We all in agreement, and just by a show of hands, we can agree with it. But how many of you know that Jesus Christ, he did not need any help to perform this task? He could have easily done it. Amen? Yeah, hands all over. We know that Jesus Christ could have performed this task on his own. But notice in the verses to come, he did not exclude anyone that wanted to help. He did not exclude anyone that wanted to help. He says in verse 6, this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And then verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, Jesus, there's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? What can we do with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes? What are they among so many? What are they among 5,000 plus? And then Jesus said, make the men sit down. Make the men sit down. And now there was much grass in the place, and so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And we'll stop right there just for the time being. Do you see what Jesus Christ did in this area of Scripture? See, not only was he not expected to feed the people, which in response he has a generous heart and does it, but then we see in this area of Scripture that he does not exclude anyone that wants to help. We see the example of the small lad. Nobody in the 5,000 plus that were here, nobody expected the small lad to be used. And I'm sure the small lad was not expecting it either. I'm sure the small lad, when he woke up that morning and when his mother gave him the lunch for the day, and when the mother told the small lad to go see what Jesus is about to do, I'm sure the small lad was expecting to see Jesus do great and mighty things, yes. But I'm sure the small lad did not have in his mind at the time, Jesus is going to use me to perform a miracle. I'm sure that was not in his mind. But yet what we see with this lad is, guess what? Nobody in this crowd expected him to do something, but yet we see the generous heart of the small lad. We see the generous heart of the small lad. In response, he says, Jesus, I have these 5 barley loaves. I have these 2 fish. Surely we can do something with it. Surely we can do something with it. And not only that, but we see a symbolism of missions in this. We see a symbolism of missions in this. And the symbolism that we see is that the small lad represents the church. See, the small lad has something to give to the mission. The mission was to feed the people. The mission was to minister to the people because the people were hungry. And so the small lad, he has this offering to give. He gives it to Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ blesses the offering. He blesses the 5 barley loaves. He blesses the 2 fish. And then in response, we saw the verse. He gave it to the disciples to distribute it. And with the disciples representing missionaries, we see a perfect symbolism of missions, where the church has given, where the disciples, the missionaries, they have taken what Jesus Christ has blessed, and they distribute it to everyone around. They distribute it to everyone around. And I'm so thankful as a child of God. I'm so thankful as a child of God. I know first and foremost, I grew up in a town called Mount Orb, Ohio. It's a country bumpkin town. We got cornfields all over the place. You could say that our children were children of the corn, so to speak. But no one expects God to take a little old family in Mount Orb, Ohio, just a small town not many people have heard of, and no one expects God to pluck a family out of there to be missionaries. God moves in a mighty way, we see every time, and we see that he does it a lot by picking the average Joes or the least of these to do great and mighty things. And so you could be thinking this morning, well, Corey, I don't know what I can do for the Lord. I don't have much to offer. Well, the small lad didn't have much to offer either. But what he offered was his generous heart. And Jesus Christ used it. Jesus Christ used that generous heart. He used what the offering was, which was the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And we see where Jesus Christ blessed it. We see in the later in the story where he blessed it so much to where not only was everyone fed, but the Bible says that everyone was full. And not only was everyone full, but then we see later on that there was 12 baskets full of this blessing, of this offering. The small lad was not expecting that from his lunch that day. But because of his generous heart, Jesus Christ did not exclude him from the work that Jesus was about to do. He did not exclude him. And Bible Baptist Church, Mount Vernon, with your generous heart, God looks at it and he does not exclude anyone from serving him. He does not exclude anyone from serving him. He does not exclude the least of these. He does not exclude the great of these. He does not exclude anyone that is willing and ready to serve an almighty God. And he sees that generous heart and he moves in it. And with the third action we see, the third action is that there's also no excuse. And we see that in a very specific verse. We see that Jesus Christ was not expected to do all the things he just did, but yet he did because of his generous heart. Then we see that he did not exclude anyone from serving in this ordeal. And now we are going to see that nobody is excused from what just happened. And the verse that defines that specifically is verse 14. So they see in verse 12 and 13 everything that happened, the great mighty works. They saw in verse 12 when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore, in verse 13, they gathered them together, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And then verse 14 is that juice part of the action right here. Verse 14 says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth. This is not an allegory that we're seeing. This is not a metaphor that we're seeing. This literally happened that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. In other words, because Jesus Christ showed his generous heart and because others showed a generous heart and wanted to be included in this, and then he used those generous hearts, blessed the offering that was given, and used the disciples to distribute this blessing, and then we see where the miracle happened, where there's 12 baskets full, everyone is fed, and then we see in verse 14, because all of this has happened, that Jesus Christ is seen, he is heard, he is glorified, and they say, truly this is the Son of God. Truly this is the prophet that has been spoken of from old. This is the prophet that has been spoken of from old. And all of this happened simply because of the start that although Jesus was not expected to do this, he did it because he had a generous heart. He did it because he had a generous heart. So think about it for a moment, Bible Baptist Mount Vernon. I'll use Operation Christmas Child as an example. If I remember right, I heard that this is your first year as being the church that's gathering, bringing it all in. So this is your first year bringing it all in. You guys, in response, responded in a generous heart. You responded in a generous heart. Now, here's the ordeal. The ordeal is the county you all live in, they were not expecting you guys to do that. They were not expecting you all to do that. But because of the generous heart that Bible Baptist Mount Vernon has, you went above and beyond the expectation. So watch this. We see in Scripture time after time where when Jesus moves in love, when he moves in compassion, great and mighty things happen. So I wonder what God's going to do when you all moved in that generous heart of yours. I wonder what God's going to do with it. I wonder how many children, whatever country it's going to, I wonder how many children are going to open up that box, receive something that they've never seen in their life before, and then most importantly, see that gospel track that tells them that there's a God that loves them, gave his son for them, and that they could trust in Christ that very moment as their Savior. And it's because of your generous heart, God is going to take that, he's going to bless it, and he's going to move in a mighty way with it. He's going to move in a mighty way with it. But unfortunately, there's also a lot of Christians out in this world that they don't live with a generous heart. There's a lot of Christians out in this world that do not live with a generous heart. And we see in Scripture the example that we need to. We see that we need to live with a generous heart. And it makes me wonder, when the world sees us not living with a generous heart, it makes me wonder what they're thinking about us. We've heard before, many people, they say in response, those Christians, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Those Christians, they don't live the way that their God tells them to. Friends, I know that we're not going to be perfect every time living like Jesus, but as a child of God, we ought to be striving daily to live like Him. We ought to be striving daily to live like Him. And a good starting point is to have a generous heart. A good starting point is to have a generous heart, because we see in response that when the generous heart was offered, when Jesus Christ responded generously, when others responded generously, we see in verse 14 the proof that they saw that this is the Son of God. They saw that this could not be denied, or in other words, as the action point says, they could not excuse what just happened. They could not excuse it out of their mind. They could not think of a way to elaborate or say, no, hold on, maybe this is some flashy show. Maybe they really had behind the curtains the whole time a bunch of bread and fish. Maybe they designed this the whole time. No, the fact of the matter is that because Jesus is a miracle worker, and because He moved in the generous hearts that were offered, He performed a miracle. They saw the King of Kings and Lord of Lords move and operate. They heard the teaching from them, and they in response say, this can not be excused from our mind. It cannot be forgotten. This is the Son of God. This is the prophet that was spoken of old, and we cannot excuse it. We cannot get it out of our mind. Truly, this is the Son of God, and He has shown proof of it. He has shown proof of it. With every head bowed and every eyes closed this morning, as we go into the invitation here soon, I want you to think this morning, what could Jesus Christ do? What could He accomplish in my life and through my life if I live a life that's generous? What could the Lord do with me if I live a life that's generous? First off, during the invitation time, I believe that we all ought to take time when we open the altars. We all ought to take the time to, first off, thank God for how generous He is. How generous He is. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. And we do not deserve that. We do not deserve that generous heart. So I believe, first off, as a challenge, we ought to thank God for His generous heart towards us, doing more than what was expected. But second off, as a challenge, I believe we ought to take the challenge to live a generous life. To live a generous life. We ought to take the challenge daily to live a generous life, doing more than what is expected of us. Because this world needs love. There's a lot of lost and dying people, and they don't have love. But you have the message, you have the good news of Jesus Christ that could totally alter their eternity. So share that love with them. Be generous towards them. Do more than what is expected. And go out and reach the lost. Lord, as we come to you in prayer this morning, God, we're so thankful for all that you do. We're so thankful for your grace, your love, and your mercy. But as we talked about in the Bible today, Lord, we're so thankful for your generous heart. We're so thankful for it. And Lord, this morning, I pray that we take the challenge to live a generous life just as you did. I pray, Lord, that we do more than what is expected of us. Because, God, we know ultimately that there's a lost world. They're dying. They're going to hell. They're splitting the gates of hell wide open. And we have the message that can change that. We have the message that could change a little boy or little girl's eternity forever. We have the message that could change a drug addict's story forever. We have the gospel, and we can share it with them. We're commissioned to do so. And God, not only that, but I pray that as we do that expectation, I pray, Lord, that we also go above and beyond and do what is not expected from us. And I pray that we move in compassion just as you did before. We give you all praise, we give you all glory, and we certainly give you all the honor. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.